Islamic Revolution Guard Corps, the IRGC, that more than 10 days and counting since the silence and negligence of international organizations, particularly the United Nations Security Council, in condemning the Israeli regime's acts of aggression and crime of attacking the consular section of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Damascus as part of Iranian territory, which led to the martyrdom of 7 Iranian authorized advisors and failure to punish this criminal regime as stipulated in Clause 7 of the UN Charter. And in response to these crimes and in order to carry out earlier warnings and fulfill Iran's rightful demand and in order to punish the aggressor, the IRGC devotees, utilizing their strategic intelligence, missile and drone capabilities, attacked key military targets of the terrorist Zionist army in the occupied territories, successfully struck them and destroyed them. As it pursues the strategic policies of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the IRGC hereby announces that, one, the terrorist U.S. government is warned that any support for and contribution to efforts to deal a blow to Iranian interests will incur a firm response by the Islamic Republic of Iran's armed forces that will make it regret its action. Moreover, the United States has a responsibility toward the Israeli regime's evil deeds and should accept their consequences if it fails to contain this child-killing regime in the region. Two, while highlighting Iran's good neighbor policy vis-a-vis neighboring and regional countries, we reiterate that any threats by the terrorists, U.S. government, and the Israeli regime made from whichever country will prompt a reciprocal and proportionate response from the Islamic Republic of Iran to the origin of that threat. We assure the heroic Iranian nation that the IRGC and other divisions of the Iranian armed forces will put their lives on the line to secure national interests and thwart the enemy's efforts to disrupt the people's security and tranquility. Again, that is the second statement released by the Iran's IRGC. Tim, your thoughts about what was just said, Tim, what I just read.
Look, there are reports still coming in from the IRGC. No doubt you're seeing them, that there are, for example, the military base have been targeted, and, the Nevatim military airport has been completely destroyed. I think something that's worth pointing out here is the moral character of this retaliation. You know, in international law, there's a couple of principles. One has been cited by Tehran, that Article 51 of self-defense. Another one is proportionality, but proportionality in international law has meant that, you know, you don't do a disproportionate response to a particular crime. But many were speculating, oh, perhaps Iran is going to target one of the Israeli embassies somewhere. But it's not really as simple as tit for tat, is it? There's a moral question involved. Because the Israelis have killed thousands of Palestinian children, does that mean that the resistance should kill thousands of Israeli children? No, what's happening is Iran is demonstrating a different level of principle in this, and they are attacking these military bases, the military airports, which give the capacity to the regime to take off and target the children, the civilians they've been killing in Gaza. So I think this message will get through once the dust settles a little bit and we see the real impact of these retaliatory strikes. We will see that if they are indeed very carefully on military bases and there is quite minimal civilian casualty there, we will see a big moral difference between what Iran has done to the Zionist regime and what the Zionist regime has been doing to Gaza and the entire region.
We have seen Iran in dealing with various entities over the years. I mean, if we go back to the 8-year Saddam Hussein imposed Iraqi war on the Islamic Republic of Iran, I mean, there are very strict, actually, rules and laws that exist Islamically and also reiterated by the leader of the revolution, of course, Ayatollah Khomeini, Imam Khomeini, and then Ayatollah Khamenei, the same thing. Not even destroying trees, for example, the palm trees, the date trees in Iraq, they could not attack. They could not attack the cities, even though that that regime had attacked the Iranian cities. There's so many rules and laws because of the morality of it all. There are rules even in war. Of course, the Zionist entity, there are no rules. There are no limitations to how evil that they can be. We have seen infants, newborns being singed to death, being left actually being taken off of their incubators, just left to die. Unbelievable scenes. And I think that definitely tonight, with the retaliatory attack by the Islamic Republic for that attack on its consular section, and also just the overall situation, what the regime has done, that's why we're seeing such showing of happiness and joy from Palestine, the occupied territories, to Iraq, to Lebanon, to Iran, and I'm sure a lot of other places, as people around the world, I believe, have had enough of the bloodshed, enough of the tyranny, and enough of this oppression that's been backed by the hegemonic front. And I know you're in Australia, and over these 6 months, more than 6 months now, we have seen actually lots of activity there, lots of activists taking to the streets and protesting like never before against the Israeli regime. Your thoughts?
Yes, you're right. All around the world, this has had a huge impact, and a huge moral impact too. You know, as we were saying before about the disgrace of the Zionist regime, which had worked so hard to try and build up its image. Remember all those stupid slogans, the most moral army and the only democracy in the region, all these ridiculous slogans. Really, now it's become very clear to the worldwide community, and we're talking Latin America, Asia, Africa, everywhere, the Western world, the global South, that this is the worst of all pariah regimes. Things can never go back to the way that they were. Now you mention here, yes, it's true, we've had 6 months of rallies. Of course, there's been great participation of Palestinian Australians, Lebanese Australians, but also young people. They've been mobilized. They've come out every weekend. And they've come out, and when they come out, they hear speakers and they follow the developments, and they have followed the developments, for example, the resistance in Lebanon, doing their part to draw away the genocidal army from Gaza. And so people are saying, well, long live Lebanon. And then the Yemenis, and they didn't know anything about Yemen because, of course, the Western media totally censors that. The Iranian media is one of the few media in the world which talks about the Yemeni people. So now, all of a sudden, because of Gaza, Yemen's image has risen. They don't even know about Yemen, but they think the Yemenis are wonderful people, what they're doing there. Now, today's rally, undoubtedly, we'll see more Iranian flags, and there'll be talk about the Iranian role in the region, which was hidden from them, basically, because Iran's been demonized by a series of scare stories for many, many decades. And now that the masks have fallen, we're seeing the actual players in the axis of resistance doing their bit. I think it's a huge educational role. These rallies and the actual ongoing war is really educating a whole new generation in terms of what imperialism means, what Zionism means, and what resistance means. And I think that's extremely important for the moral life of all of our cultures.
Yes, indeed. Of course, if you're just joining us, it has been a very, very busy night. It continues to be so. Over 200 Iranian drones launched against the Israeli regime, and also along with missiles that have been sent. Reports that we were getting were at least 50% have gotten through. We have seen explosions taking place in various towns and cities inside of the occupied territories. And Richard, what we've also seen are just signs of joy, celebrations, whether we're talking about inside of Gaza or Al-Aqsa, as I said earlier, in Iraq, in Lebanon, inside of Iran, and I'm sure inside of Yemen. I haven't seen actually any footage yet inside of Yemen, but we know our Yemeni brothers and sisters have definitely been there every step of the way.
Yeah, Yeah, without a shadow of doubt, you know, the Yemenis will have the biggest crowds of all. It's just a matter of time till we get the footage. I know for a fact that people are still outside now in the streets in Damascus and in Beirut, because it gives them hope. Again, we should remember that people are tired. You know, they've had resources stolen from them. Their lives affected by its occupation that never leaves the Americans, the Israelis. They've reduced the quality of life for many people. I remember, for example, in Syria, just before the war, brand new infrastructure being built, no more electricity cuts. The country was getting so good, and then the West and Israel and their allies in the region destroyed it all. Now they've set the country back, and they're doing the same to Lebanon with the de facto U.S. sanctions. They're doing the same to everyone. So when they see these images, it's like they're empowered. You know, this is their liberation. For once, the Israelis get a taste of their own medicine, and not the innocent civilians who just want to live in peace.
Right. You know, you made an interesting point because as an American and growing up and hearing about this part of the world, it was always projected that those people, they always want war. They always are after conflict. And instead of the beauty of this part of the world and the love between the people and families and the absolute joy for life, as a matter of fact. But as you have said, when you gave an example of Syria, and we have so many others, of how the hegemonic front, especially the United States, has continually tried to destroy these countries, putting under economic pressure or military pressure. I think about, for example, Iran and the sanctions, or Syria and the sanctions, or Lebanon after the bombing and the sanctions and the banks and just continual pressure. But when it's shown to the outside world, I'm talking about basically to the West in general, it is shown that these people are always troubled. They don't want to live in peace. I mean, but I'm hoping that this time around, Richard, that scenario, that narrative has been broken. Because what else we have seen during the last six and a half months, as Muslim men have always been demonized, we have seen these strong Muslim men and holding their babies and digging through dirt with their bare hands, trying to find their women, their sisters, their wives, and the love of family. All of what had been basically shown in a totally negative way, I think that this last 6 months have at least shown the reality to those who want to see.
Inshallah, God willing, because I find it horribly racist, and I'm sure you'd agree with me how they depict the Middle East, like as if, oh, well, you know, they're a bunch of savages who like to fight. Mm-hmm. No. There's fighting because of the West. Because the West won't leave the region alone. They leave that part out. And then they say, oh, well, it's about religion. No. There's Iraq, for example, or Syria, for example, before these wars and invasions, no one cared if you're Sunni or you're Shia. This is not a thing. It doesn't come up. You know, you don't discriminate or think badly or question what faith your neighbor is, because the society, as you said, has a love of life, and they destroyed that. They brought so much death. I honestly look at this at the region and I tell myself this is evil what they've done. Like, truly, the devil himself is as they say, America is the great Satan, and I can only agree. But again. You know, the resistance gives people hope. It gives me hope. And Iran is a very patient country. It has tried to do things diplomatically. Syria, the same thing. But at the end of the day, you know, they think kindness and patience is a form of weakness. And that's not how, you know, we live in this region, how we're taught. It's a very, very different mentality.
Right. And definitely. There is a difference. I believe, Richard, that during this last, again, 6 months or so, that a lot of Westerners, especially young people who have been exposed to this and have been so impressed, actually, by what they see. I remember even one of the Israeli captives who was freed. It was a child. And then the right. sister of that child saying, well, we don't know what has happened to her, because now whenever she wants to eat, she wants to share it first, like others to eat with her or eat before her right. prior to she eating. And she wasn't like that before. I mean, just under being under the influence of the Palestinians for a short period of time had that much of an effect. And I do believe, and I'm in contact with a lot of people throughout the world, that a lot of Westerners, especially young people, are seeing through this, and they think it's beautiful, that the whole family yes. structure, the whole that lack of individualism and the we factor is actually quite appealing to these societies that have reached a dead end, that it's just so out yeah. of order. We don't even know what is a female and what is a male anymore. So there's just total confusion.
Yeah.
So this is so beautiful for a lot of these Westerners, and it has been so appealing.
Yeah, it's really enriching. And I think that it's just it's human nature to draw satisfaction out of being kind to others. And this thing you mentioned, it's such a small thing to offer those around you the food before you eat yourself. It's such a small thing, but it makes such a big difference. And these customs, you know, they're normal in West Asia, in Iran, in Syria, in Iraq, in Lebanon, in our parts of the world. But then in the West, we don't have that. And I think it's a shame. And I'm really hoping that young people are seeing through that on multiple levels. I hope that they become kinder, that they prioritize family over individualism. I hope that they see through the racism, that they understand that, you know, we're all equal, and the fighting in the Middle East is not the fault of the people in the Middle East. And I hope they learn what imperialism and Zionism are, so that these things are exposed and finally rejected by the mass of people.
Right, right. Well, I think it started, with the various journalists during the whole Russian operation of Ukraine, and we remember seeing it. But
yeah.
but they're just like us. They're just like us. This is not Baghdad. This is not Damascus. The absolute racism that existed, and even recently with the humanitarian workers that were foreign, who were targeted by the Israeli regime.
Exactly.
We saw this type of outrage for those seven individuals, and of course, each and every
Nothing
life
for us.
Is precious, but we're talking about more than 30,000 Palestinians who had been killed, and the reaction, though, was so different, even with those seven.
Yeah, I mean, just you have the right color passport and suddenly your life matters more. It's like, it's the most childish thing I've ever heard.
Right.
Really so racist and discriminatory that they matter more because one of them is an American and one of them is British. They're civilians, and guess what? In Gaza, there are many others just like them who've done more work than them or just as much of work as them, and they had just as much bravery, and they were killed, and you didn't care. So, I think, honestly, they talked about the World Central Kitchen in part because they're racist, and I mean the Western leaders. But I think the main reason that they talked about it is because the Iranian embassy was bombed the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such an outrageous crime when you look at it on an international scale. They wanted to avoid talking about it, so they used the World Central Kitchen to distract people. I think,
right.
I really believe that this is their motives.
Right.
And you mentioned also these statements that people make on social media or whatever, this is not Baghdad, or for example, when there was barbed wire set up around the capital, this is after January 6th, they said, oh, it looks like Baghdad. And I mean, I find this so insulting because
mm-hmm.
these jeeps and military vehicles in Iraq were brought by the Americans. Baghdad doesn't
That's
look
right.
like that. This is Baghdad under occupation, it looks like.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Limelight.
French police have risked the lives of migrants trying to cross the English Channel to the United Kingdom in small boats by using dangerous tactics, including puncturing boats and threatening migrants with pepper spray. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. French police, funded by the UK government, have endangered the lives of vulnerable migrants by intercepting small boats in the English Channel, using tactics that search and rescue experts say could cause a mass casualty event. Shocking new evidence obtained by The Guardian, Lighthouse Reports, Le Monde and Der Spiegel reveals for the first time that the French maritime police have tried physically to force small boats to turn around, manoeuvres known as pullbacks, in an attempt to prevent them reaching British shores. Newly obtained video footage, leaked documents and witness testimonies show that the French authorities have used aggressive tactics, including circling a migrant boat, causing waves to flood the dinghy, ramming into a small boat whilst threatening passengers with a large tank of pepper spray, and puncturing boats when they are already at sea, forcing migrants to swim back to shore. The French authorities have previously refused the Britain's request for them to carry out interceptions at sea, stating that they contravened international maritime law. But evidence indicates there has been an escalation in the use of these tactics since last summer. Britain's Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has pledged to stop the boats crossing the Channel and has promised hundreds of millions of pounds to France to pay for more surveillance and border guards to prevent people making the journey. Recently, the Government Safety of Rwanda Asylum and Immigration Bill suffered several defeats in the House of Lords, delaying the Prime Minister's plan to cease flights for Kigali take off until after Easter. Ministers claim that the bill will act as a deterrent to all those crossing the channel from northern France to Britain. In the first video obtained and verified for this investigation, a police boat in Dunkirk harbour circles close to a dinghy holding about 25 people, creating a wake that floods the boat. The police vessel is seen advancing towards the dinghy at speed, before turning sharply to create waves, circling and coming back again. Migrants are seen wearing foam-packed life jackets and attempting to bail water out using their shoes. Sources have confirmed that the police patrol vessel used to carry out the maneuver seen in the video was brought by the French authorities with funding provided by the British government under the Sandhurst Treaty, a bilateral border security deal signed at the Royal Military Academy in 2018. One search and rescue expert who was shown the video footage said that it is a textbook pushback, exactly the same as we have seen in Greece, adding that one maneuver alone could cause a mass casualty event. The water is deep enough to drown in. I've seen this in the central Mediterranean many times, but this is the first time that I've seen anything like this happening in the English Channel. Previous evidence has shown how the Greek Coast Guard has forced boats carrying migrants back into the Turkish waters in the Aegean Sea, in some cases by manoeuvring around them at high speed to create waves. Two senior British Border Force sources confirmed that the tactic could lead to multiple deaths and injuries. One operational Border Force official said, "If the blades of the French boat make contact with the vessel, it will slash right through the vessel," adding, "The other thing is a collision. The weight and the force of that vessel could ride straight over the top of the rib. It would knock the passengers out, knock them unconscious and into the water. It could potentially lead to a large number of deaths. I can't believe any mariner could condone that." Maritime experts added that they would be very surprised if Border Force and HM Coast Guard were not aware of these tactics being used, with one adding, 100%, someone high up will definitely be aware of this. In a second video clip, members of the French gendarmerie drive along a dinghy in a speedboat about 12 miles from the French coast, threatening to use a large tank of pepper spray against a boat carrying migrants. They then proceed to ram their vessel into the dinghy. A Border Force official said, "They don't even know who's on board, whether there's someone asthmatic that they're using pepper spray against, or pregnant women," adding, "That could really harm people." In evidence of a third attempted pullback, a complaint filed by a member of the French Customs Coast Guard to the public prosecutor in Boulogne-sur-Mer charged that on 11th of August 2023, police officers ordered a National Society of Sea Rescue's crew to puncture a small boat that had already set sail. In an email seen by this investigation, the complainant, Remy van der Plaak, states that the National Society of Sea Rescue's crew obviously refused to do this, adding that the risk of drowning if they had done so was obvious and imminent. Testimony from several sources who boarded small boats bound for Britain support the claims that French police have used such tactics. One man who was from India said, "There were four of them, French gendarmes, on the boat. They went around the boat in a circle and then they stabbed the boat and left. We had to swim for about 10 minutes. We nearly died." On 9th of February 2024, the man lodged a complaint with the French Human Rights Ombudsman. The incident is currently under investigation. The website Politico has also covered the same story and tells us more. Sources within France's Interior Ministry have described the British government's enormous pressure on a daily basis for the French Maritime Police to prevent small boat departures, with one French civil servant describing the pressure as intense and non-stop. Another senior civil servant, who was in post until the end of 2020, added, "As far as the British were concerned, the boats had to be caught at sea. They sometimes insisted on it." In September of last year, the then British Immigration Minister, Robert Jenrick, said in the House of Commons that "there is clearly more that we need the French to do for us," pointing to a recent trip to Belgium, where he said the authorities had been willing to intercept in the water small boats leaving its shores. Robert Jenrick added, "That has proven decisive. Small boats from Belgian waters are now extremely rare, so that is an approach that we encourage the French to follow." In August of 2021, during a visit to the Greek island of Samos, then Home Secretary Priti Patel went out on patrol with the Greek Coast Guard, which is known for its use of aggressive pushbacks in the Aegean Sea. A Home Office source with knowledge of the trip said she came back invigorated, adding, "They were very aggressive, had a good success rate of detection, and were swift in how they processed them, the asylum seekers." She liked their posturing of protecting borders and working with the military, though there was recognition that a lot of this wouldn't be lawful in Britain. Britain has allocated more than £700 million to France to prevent irregular migration since 2014. At a summit in March of 2023, Prime Minister Sunak announced that Britain would give France £500 million over 3 years to fund additional border guards and a new detection facility, as well as video surveillance cameras, drones and night vision binoculars, among other equipment.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom to discuss today's topic, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Nur Muhammad. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Nur Muhammad, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the significance of the month of Shawwal, the month of Shawwal al-Mukarram. This is the 10th month of the Islamic lunar calendar in Islamic calendar, and the first day of this month was Eid al-Fitr. And in fact, this is a month that its first and its beginning starts with an Eid, and that is Eid al-Fitr. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, let's not first talk about the significance of the month of Shawwal, then we'll get to more details about this month.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that the month of Shawwal actually is a month of reappearance of whatever you have been done and whatever you have been practiced in the holy month of Ramadan.
Yes.
And actually, to some extent, we can call it the month of reward, especially the beginning, the eve of the month of Shawwal, and the day, first day of that is Eid al-Fitr, actually is an Eid of rewards, actually. And whatever you have been practiced and whatever you have been done, your worship, your fasting, your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your preparation and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the beginning of the month of Shawwal, you receive your reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
And you experience new life. And it's actually a new beginning.
You mean it must be like you're experiencing a new life.
Exactly. Right. Okay. Inshallah, for all people,
inshallah,
it happen.
That's right.
And you practice new life and new spiritual life.
Yes.
in the beginning of the month of Shawwal. And it is recommended to, for example, to be vigil in the eve of the Shawwal.
In the eve of Shawwal.
And to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have different recommendations. Yes. For example, if you go to the Al-Muraqabat,
yes,
one of the spiritual books, you can benefit the most.
Okay.
Some recommendations we have for this beautiful month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. Sheikh Mahtavi, the holy month of Ramadan, I mean, comes from Ramadha. It means that according to Prophet Muhammad, the sins of the people are burnt away. Now, in the months of Shawwal, you know, the effects of the sins must not be seen. The consequences are removed. And in fact, in the month of Shawwal, you are pure, it's better to say. Or it is a month that you must be pure. The results of the Ramadan month must be seen. So how to keep the spirit of Ramadan in the month of Shawwal is also important, isn't it? It is alive.
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, that is not only limited to the fruits of the month of Ramadan to be kept, to be maintained during the month of Shawwal and the other months. It's always everywhere. Yes. It's a bit difficult to achieve something,
yes,
but more difficult is to maintain that achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may struggle to find out about something, to have a kind of achievement, but to maintain that would be very difficult. As you said, okay, by the end of month of Ramadan, specifically when you paid away the Zakat al-Fitr, as we have the Rawayat narrations saying that your sins will be washed away.
Yes.
But to maintain this spirit or to maintain this position,
yes,
afterwards, while you are subject to committing sin in, yes, this material world in every moment through different sins that may happen for you, whether to do or not to do.
Yes.
So it's really difficult to maintain that purity, mm-hmm, or spiritual purity that, yes, you mentioned.
Yes.
So first thing first is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
yes,
to protect us,
yes,
against the temptation of Shaitan. Of course, we have to also keep struggling in this a very difficult path to be or refrain from committing sins, as you mentioned. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, the first day of the month of Shawwal is called Eid al-Fitr. All across the world and in the Muslim lands, the people celebrate this, we can't say day, or celebrate it this way. Now that we are on air with this program, this is the fourth of Shawwal now. We can say 3-4 days have passed Eid al-Fitr. But still, we could see that the people's donations and helping the others all around the world could be seen during this through a kind of payment called Zakat al-Fitriya. So what is the message of this Eid al-Fitr in the month of Shawwal?
You know, the foremost message for the Eid of Fitr actually, as I said, is a new beginning for the spirituality of human being.
Okay.
Is as if you have been born again and you want to start the new spiritual life for yourself. I think is the best message for that is to try to be concerned with the other oppressed people worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, nowadays we see that the massacre in Gaza and in Palestine, you know, the Islamic Ummah has been wounded,
yes,
by the, you know, massacre in Gaza and the genocide, actually,
yes,
in the Palestinian land.
Mm-hmm.
We should notice that point. We should try to support Palestine as much as possible,
yes,
and try to be giving for the oppressed people.
So this type of Eid, a celebration for all the Muslims, they are taking rest in their cozy places, you know, in their own lands, but the people of Palestine and the children are passing a difficult time. So we can help them through financially or, for example, sharing some of our times with celebrations.
Exactly.
With
the point, right, that I want to mention here is spirituality is not personal.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, it has its own societal aspect too.
Yes.
If you want to be a spiritual person, if you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you should give some services, some support for other, you know, brothers and sisters, for other fellow human beings. This is part of Islamic spirituality, and this is a meaning of worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
You know that unfortunately some people, they think that the spirituality and worshipping means your personal relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
This is not true.
That's right.
Your relationship,
one of the aspects of Eid al-Fitr is this collective social aspect.
And I want to say that more than that, this Islamic religion and this divine religion of Allah is more societal than the personal. An individual.
Okay.
We should be caring for other fellow human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We should be vigilant for what's happening worldwide.
Yes.
For the oppressed people, Palestinian people, for the black people, and for all people who have been oppressed by some of the oppressors.
Yes. That's all right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, so what about you, brother? How do you think that we have passed 3-4 days from Eid al-Fitr? And you know, usually in the Muslim lands, the people, according to their national calendar, they take the days off, the organizations and the schools off. They pass life in celebration of the holy month of Ramadan. And this celebration must not be limited to joy and amusement, isn't it? There is for sure a message behind Eid al-Fitr at the first day of the month of Shawwal, isn't it? How do you think this message should be strengthened in us?
Yeah, as you said, these off days that comes following the Eid al-Fitr day, we can specifically this year, since we have this massacre in Palestine, in order to do a kind of sympathy with our fellow Muslims, I think it's not proper to only think of ourselves celebrating, being very happy. Of course, we are human beings.
Yes.
We are in need of happiness, things like that. But for all these off days, at least to do a kind of sympathy with them. In our community, we can have this lesson from the Eid al-Fitr. I mean, the lesson from the Zakat al-Fitr that we have to pay to the poor people. So these days also, we can go and pay visit to poor people, whether in our family, members, or out of our family members in the city, because in all cities, all around us, we have people living in poor localities. So paying visit to them, and having or buying good clothes for orphan people.
Yes.
I mean, orphan children. Make them happy.
Yes.
In the memory of Palestinian people. Of course, we cannot go there. Even we cannot send our monetary gifts and donations to them because of this actually border or these
restrictions. The bans, that's right.
But at least we can deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as my dear brother mentioned, all of the days of Ramadan, I did a kind of personal thing by fasting. That was a kind of personal worshipping acts that I was doing, remembering the hunger of the day of Qiyamah. But after the Eid al-Fitr, taking lesson from this paying the zakat, I'm gonna go and pay visit to poor people. Still, I'm gonna, as you said at the beginning of this discussion, maintain that achievement, remembering poor people. I was hungry during the month of Ramadan, during the daylight.
Yes.
So that time of hunger and times of being thirsty, it was really difficult for me to tolerate. So I'm gonna maintain that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I do it? Go pay visit to poor people. If possible, go with my children, let them also understand that all children are not living the same situation that you are living, so they can be grateful to the bounties that they have on one hand, and on the other hand, they will be trained how to do sympathy with orphan children, with poor people. So if I, for example, buy a good stationeries, or if I buy a good trousers, clothes, shirts, and give it to my children, and then those children, I mean my children, go and gift it to poor children so they make them happy and they can enjoy a spiritual moments while gifting to poor children too.
That's right. Helping the poor, as you said, sharing your good time with the poor, even for example, buying clothes for the poor are very much recommended. Going and visit the orphans and the orphanage houses, you know, even the nursing homes, the aged ones, okay, are very much recommended during this Eid time. And as you said, it is not like we kept hungry and thirsty for 1 month and now we are going to again fill our stomach with different types of food or something like that. The experience of the holy month of Ramadan is like a powerful battery for us in order to be recharged during the all other coming months of the year, spiritually and bodily speaking. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, your final remarks regarding the significance of the first days of the month of Shawwal.
Exactly. I think we should practice sacrifice here in the holy month of Shawwal, and of course in all other time, try to be giving and to sacrifice whatever we have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
In the verse of Noble Quran, we have a yut'amuna ta'ama ala hubbihi, which means that Ahlul Bayt, the household, purified progeny of Noble Prophet Muhammad, while they have some need for this food, but they give it away, they sacrifice it, and they give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
We should practice as much as possible and try to be generous for other fellow human being.
That's right. Thank you, Imam Sheikh Nur Muhammad and Sheikh Mahtabi, for a nice elaboration regarding the significance of the month of Shawwal, Eid al-Fitr, and how to keep the spirit of Ramadan during all the coming days and months of the year. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstudy.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's Viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی است.
And try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
نزل القرآن يهدي للتي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين.
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
It is He who has sent His apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that He may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
كتاب الله.
In the limelight.
Thanks to the heroic Operation Al-Aqsa Storm of October 7th, 2023, American hypocrisy has also been fully exposed to the whole world. And no matter what hostile posture the regime in Washington adopts against the Axis of Resistance and the Islamic Republic of Iran, the cobweb called Israel will definitely be wiped off the map of West Asia region. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kahan International wrote, in June 1967, during the Six-Day War, the illegal Zionist entity vanquished four national armies of Arab states, neighboring Palestine and occupied territories, more than double its illegitimate size. The northern part of Syria's Golan Heights, the area south of Lebanon's River Litani, the entire region west of River Jordan, including the Islamic holy city of Beit al-Muqaddas, and Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, after overrunning in a few hours the then Egyptian-administered Gaza sliver. Today, over 66 years later, usurper Israel is struggling for the past 6 months to reoccupy the barely 40 kilometers long and hardly 10 kilometers wide Gaza Strip, even after bombing to death more than 33,000 civilians, mostly women and children, as well as medics, journalists, refugees, and international relief workers, severely injuring 80,000 others and destroying the entire infrastructure, including schools, hospitals, mosques, and churches, but miserably failing to achieve its goal of wiping out the Palestinian liberation movement. In the process, some 1,500 Zionists, including top commanders, have been killed by Gaza's resistance forces, who have also destroyed scores of Merkava tanks and over 100 armored carriers, besides continuing their rocket barrages on several towns and cities of the 1948 occupied parts of Palestine. It is clear the victors of the Washington-directed genocide of the Gazans are not the child-killing regime and its terrorist backer, Genocidal Joe, U.S. President Joe Biden, but the victims of the Holocaust themselves and the Palestinian liberation movements such as Hamas and Islamic Jihad. This is the undeniable reality of the current conflict, which has awakened the public conscience of the entire world, especially of the long-deceived people of North America and West Europe, who since the planting of the Zionist entity in the heart of the Muslim world had been tricked into sympathizing with usurper Israel. The taxpayers no longer want their hard-earned money to be siphoned off for the survival of spurious states and its devilish regime, which is the enemy of all humanity and humanitarian values. In other words, the end of the illegal Zionist entity whose very establishment was and is against the tenets of Judaism is near. This is the reason the US regime is sending hundreds of billions of dollars lethal weapons to the Zionist entity, in the vain hope of averting the inevitable, while sending its overinflated navy to the Red Sea to try to deter Yemen from helping the persecuted Palestinian people by blocking vessels bound for Omer Ashraf Port, Eilat, on the Gulf of Aqaba. Thanks to the heroic Operation Al-Aqsa Storm of October 7, 2023, American hypocrisy has also been fully exposed to the whole world. And no matter what hostile posture the regime in Washington adopts against the axis of resistance and the Islamic Republic of Iran, the cobweb called Israel will definitely be wiped off of the map of the West Asia region. Meanwhile, the Electronic Intifada wrote, "In Gaza, if you get sick, you either wait for God's mercy or wait for your death. There is little to nothing by way of treatment. If every Palestinian in Gaza spoke about their loss and suffering, the sea would run dry before these stories could end. Palestinians have lost their cities and towns with their memories, streets, schools, mosques, and churches. Both Gaza's history and present are being wiped out. In the heart of every challenge lies the seed of hope, and amid every tragedy, the strength of resilience and willpower shines through. Despite the many wounds, Gaza's story remains full of tenderness, strength, and hope. Gaza has faced the harshest conditions, yet it has not surrendered or stopped dreaming of a better tomorrow. In each of its people lies the courage of a struggle and a desire to build a future that restores Gaza's charm and peace. Resilience and determination to live with dignity burns within Palestinians in Gaza, and with each passing day, hope is somehow maintained and the will to move forward grows despite all the hardships."
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
So much for being with us. Iran launches